3 weeks ago today, we celebrated Christmas. We celebrated a merciful miracle. The miracle that the eternal Son of God entered our world as a baby who would grow up to hang on a cross in our place of damnation. But getting back to when he was a baby, imagine what it was like for those who were close to the baby Jesus. Imagine how Joseph and Mary must have felt when they held God in their arms. Imagine how the shepherds felt when they found the baby who is Christ the Lord. And imagine how the Magi must have felt when a star guided them to the baby who created all the stars. Imagine what it was like to be that close to God. In addition, our three scripture readings for today tell us about other people who had close contact with God. In our Old Testament reading from Genesis chapter 28, we hear about Jacob, the grandson of Abraham. Now, if you remember your Sunday school, Abraham was approached by God, who told him that through his offspring, all nations would be blessed. Now, God meant that one of Abraham's descendants would be the savior of sinners. Now, God's promise to Abraham continued through his son, Isaac, and also with Isaac's son, Jacob. And in our reading from Genesis, we heard God say these words to Jacob. He said, "All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring." However, before God said this to Jacob, you may recall that God had given Jacob a glimpse of who the Savior would be. God gave Jacob a dream in which he saw a stairway ascending up to heaven, and angels were swarming around the throne of God. At the top of that stairway was God himself. Now, what did this mean? Well, some have wrongly interpreted this as though this stairway was for us, so that we could somehow climb to heaven by being good people. But that's not what it's about at all. You see, the stairway was for God. The stairway was for God, who would descend to earth as the descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, we see this promise fulfilled in our gospel reading from John chapter 1. Listen again to what Philip said to Nathanael. He said, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Now, of course, they did not yet know that Joseph was only Jesus' adopted father. They did not yet understand that Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, and that he is the Word made flesh, who is the eternal Son of God the Father. But Jesus gives them a glimpse of this mystery when he says to Nathanael, "You shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Now, these Jewish men knew their Old Testament, and when they heard Jesus use those words, they couldn't help but think of Jacob's dream. You see, Jesus wanted them to remember Jacob's dream and believe that God had now descended to earth as the descendant of Jacob. In addition, after Jesus' death and resurrection, Nathanael and the other apostles would see Jesus ascend back to heavenly glory. And what a sight that must have been. Imagine how they must have felt. I have a question for you. How do you feel when you hear about these people who had such close contact with God? Let's all be honest. Sometimes we're tempted to think like this. This isn't fair. Those people were so blessed. I mean, Jacob had a vision of heaven. Mary and Joseph held God in their arms. The shepherds and the magi were able to worship in the presence of God Himself. And the apostles walked with God and heard Him preach. They had it so good. It was easy for them to believe. They had close contact with God. But what about us? God is not that close to us. No wonder it's so hard for us to believe. So, do we have a legitimate complaint? Not really. Why not? Well, allow me to give you 2 points from Holy Scripture that will show you why we're sadly mistaken. First, having a hard time believing in God actually has nothing to do with Him either being close or far away. You see, the problem's with us. Scripture teaches that we sinners don't always trust God because we'd rather trust ourselves. And we sinners don't always want God too close because we don't want Him to mess up our plans. Now, we have an example of this in our epistle reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. The Apostle Paul tells us how God was very close to His Old Testament people when He led them out of Egypt. God was present in the pillar of cloud by day and by a pillar of fire by night. God parted the Red Sea and led them across on dry ground. Paul also goes on to say that Christ Himself accompanied them on their journey to the Promised Land. Now, when they saw all these manifestations of God, they should have said, "Wow, this is awesome! Surely the Lord is in this place!" But instead, they found ways to pretend that God didn't exist. And they did that so they could engage in rebellious sins, even though God was very close to them. Now, before we judge them too harshly as being real sinners, whereas we're supposedly above them, let's think about that a little bit first. True, they worship false gods, but we do the same, don't we? We do the same when we rely on anything other than God. It could be money, or popularity, or recreation, or drugs, or food, or family. They engaged in sexual immorality, but we do the same in more ways than we care to admit. Remember, Jesus said that if we lust in our hearts, we're guilty of adultery before God. They tested God when they engaged in rebellious acts and didn't think that God knew or cared. But what about you? Have you ever thought or said or did anything sinful without even considering that God witnessed every bit of it and that His heart was breaking? They grumbled and complained against God. But have you ever said to God, "Why me, Lord? This isn't fair. I don't deserve this. And why can't I have what I want?" My friends, we're no better than those Old Testament people who had a hard time believing, even though God was close to them. I was convicted when I prepared this sermon because it showed me that I'm a hypocrite before God. And now you see that God being close to us doesn't necessarily make it easier for us to believe, does it? You see, we sin even though God is close to us. Of course, we still might be tempted to excuse ourselves by saying, "Wait a minute, God really isn't that close to us. I mean, those people back then had no excuse. God was right in their midst. But God is so far away from us. It's therefore easy for us to forget about Him." this sinful self-justification takes us to the second reason that we are sadly mistaken. Remember what Jacob said? He said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it." Did you hear that? The Lord is always close to us. It's just that we sinners are simply not aware of it the most of the time because we allow trivial things to distract us from the truth. In fact, did you know that we Christians in 2006 who live in Jamestown, that we need to understand that God is actually closer to us than he ever was to Old Testament Jacob or New Testament Joseph? How can this be, you ask? Well, remember what Paul said about the people in the Old Testament and how they were examples for us? He said, "These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come." Paul is writing to people then and now who live after Jesus ascended to heaven. In other words, you are the ones on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. What does that mean? It means that even though Jesus ascended into heaven, he didn't do that to be farther away from us. He actually ascended to heaven to fill all creation and be closer to us than he ever was before. Not only is Jesus with us always, as he promised, but Scripture teaches that Jesus actually lives in us because we are now his temple. Jesus clothes us with himself in the waters of holy baptism. Jesus' words enter our ears and our eyes whenever we hear or read Holy Scripture. But most of all, today in the Lord's Supper, Jesus gives us his very body and blood to eat and drink. In fact, Paul talked about the Lord's Supper at the end of our epistle reading. He talked about how the body and blood of Christ unites us with God and with each other. My friends, Jacob and Joseph never had that. But how should we feel now that we know how very close God actually is? Well, Jacob was afraid when he realized that God was close to him. The shepherds were afraid when the glory of the Lord showed around them. And Mary was afraid when she was told that the Lord would be in her womb. But why were they afraid? They were afraid because they were sinners just like you and me. You see, God knew their deeds. He knew their secret sinful desires. And they wondered, "Will God condemn me?" God told them not to be afraid. You see, God had come close to save them. God sent them the Savior. God sent them the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who is Christ the Lord. And now that you know that the Lord is surely in this place and even lives in you, are you afraid? God is using me to tell you, do not fear. God has come close to save you. In fact, that's why Paul told us about those ancient people who ignored God and received judgment. You see, we need to understand, they were not condemned because God was punishing them and enjoyed hurting them. No. Remember, God sent Jesus to save them too. So why were they condemned? They were condemned because they would not repent of their sin and they would not trust in the God who had come close to save them. You see, Paul is writing us about this because he is telling us that it doesn't have to end that way for you. Sinner though you are, you can come to God with your sin and know that he is close to save you. My friends, we are all in this place as sinners who deserve God's wrath. But hear the good news. Surely the Lord is in this place, and He is here to save you. Jacob was afraid. But God comforted Jacob with the promise that his descendant would descend from heaven to save him and all people. Surely the Lord is in this place. And that's good news for sinners who are terrified of God's wrath against their sin. Because God has descended to be your Savior. That means you can go to Jesus with your guilt and your fear and know that you are forgiven and have the certain hope of eternal life with the God who longs to be close to you. Surely the Lord is in this place. And my friends, this same Lord will leave with you when you leave this place, and He will journey with you all the way to the true promised land, which is eternal life with God in the new creation that we will receive when Jesus returns in glory. In closing, I'd like to read for you the first two stanzas of the sermon hymn that we sung right before the sermon. If you want to turn to hymn 198 in your hymnal, hymn 198, follow along with me as I read for you these first two stanzas and think about how they sum up what I've shared with you today. Open now thy gates of beauty, Zion, let me enter there, where my soul in joyful duty waits for God who answers prayer. Oh, how blessed is this place, filled with solace, light, and grace. Gracious God, I come before Thee, come Thou also unto me. Where we find Thee and adore Thee, there a heaven on earth must be. To my heart, O enter Thou, let it be Thy temple now. Amen.